I'd like to just invite you, Dr. Ibrahim Mitash, to tell us briefly about your topic that you'll be presenting on next Monday, War on Terror and the Terror of War.
The talk is, my research actually focused on employment more particularly and the impact of Islamization on women. And the talk will discuss the problem of military invasion in Iraq and its implication for women's political mobilization, but in the context of not just political mobilization, but also globalization, because there is gender people who are women who are mobilizing for change are very much affected by this increase in support for Islam and the rise of support for Islamist movements. And this is partly because of the war and partly because of globalization. So my talk will look at not just the war, a war on terror, but also on globalization.
Dr. Ibrahim Mitash, maybe you can begin with just your brief assessment of how you feel this war now will impact women.
Well, right now, I think the worst problem is humanitarian crisis. The United States is responsible to deliver basic aid, and it's not doing so. It's invading without delivering any. I mean, because of the sanctions and Food for Oil program, Iraqi civilians were dependent on food supplies from UN, and right now that's cut off. Basra has no water. Who is going to suffer? This is the civilians. The soldiers will be able to get access to food, but it's the civilians and mostly women and children. Before the sanctions, UNICEF estimated that every week 200 children were dying of because of malnutrition, shortage of medicine, and also diseases related to problems with water supply. And you can imagine that now, with a city like Basra having no water, what's the effect are? There's also a great deal of, before, during the sanctions, there was a great deal of depleted uranium and other chemicals, and this is going to go. This had already affected the lives of many children, and there were many infant mortality was already very high, and now with this war, we are facing a human catastrophe. It's a big human tragedy. And all we hear is war. We're not hearing how many civilians are dying, and who is going to address that problem. We saw in the case of Afghanistan, the tragedy in Afghanistan, which is an ongoing tragedy, and the same is going to happen to Iraq.
You had mentioned the case in Afghanistan and women elsewhere in this region of the world, including Iran and Syria and Turkey, have been put in this situation before of humanitarian crisis at the brunt of war being waged by United States, by other governments from outside of that region as well as inside of that region. Maybe you can talk a bit about the historical experience of women in this region to warfare.
Well, 80% of world refugees are women, and the Middle East is no exception. I was actually in Iran when Saddam Hussein invaded Iran. It's been said over and over in the media, but Saddam Hussein was given arms, all these arms, chemical bombs, chemical weapons of mass destruction that Saddam Hussein is claimed to have, was formed because United States provided military support for Saddam Hussein to invade Iran, and I was there. There were many nights that I would put a pillow over my head, not knowing whether I would wake up next day. And of course, the problem of with refugee for. There millions of Afghans took refuge in Iran. So this is going to the war that we are facing is going to immediately increase the number of refugees, and this is something that this has a long term effect. It's going to take the war in Afghanistan went on for it was a short period of time, but we saw millions of refugees. We're already seeing a lot of refugees. Jordan has closed its border. The border with Iran is closed. Turkey has sent troops to northern Iraq to. There's going to be a civil war. The presence of Turks in Kurdistan is very bad news because it means that the Turks are also going to get involved with the Kurds. All of this military buildup in the region, and where we have already another deep crisis in Israel and with the settlements. Just look at the region. There's Afghanistan in war. There's Iraq in war. There is Israel, and the situation of Palestinians are resolved. If you look at the region, it's just in flame of war, and we know who is going to suffer most: women and children.
Whenever you hear George W. Bush talk about how the war in Afghanistan was for the benefit of Afghan women, or how this war in Iraq is for the benefit of the Iraqi people, what do you see as the contradictions and the realities that come out of the kind of war that he's waging?
Oh, that's very interesting. When he talked about, when President Bush talked about the Taliban being a terrible regime for women, of course we've been saying this. But what wasn't mentioned that was it, the Taliban were funded and trained by CIA. But nonetheless, it was for the sake of Afghan women that President Bush bombed them. And after the bombing, the military campaign is over. They have a very weak, ineffective government in power. And there's the United States has forged allies with warlords. One of them is Ismail Khan, who is a notorious warlord in the western part of Afghanistan. He is no better than Taliban. Women still do have to wear burqa. The human record of Ismail Khan is just as bad as the Taliban, except that girls can go to school. That's the only difference between Ismail Khan and the Taliban. So this is the kind of that was the rhetoric, that they were going to free Afghan women. This is what has happened right now. That's the situation. On top of that, there was huge promise of aid which was going to go to Afghans, and none of that has been delivered. Many refugees had returned to Afghanistan only to find that there was nothing there for them. Now, this claim for democracy is very similar to Afghanistan. As I just mentioned, you see Turks coming from the north. And but I think what's very, very sad is that, when the war happened when Saddam Hussein invaded Iran, it was at the aftermath of the Iranian Revolution, and an Islamist regime was into power, which was undermining many aspects of women's rights. And many women, like myself, wanted to protest they wanted to stand for gender rights issues. But because of the war, it became impossible to organize any mass support against this kind of anti the there were many changes in the legal system. Sharia law was brought in, and it was very interpreted in a very conservative way. And many women wanted to fight that, but the war stopped them. And what I fear most, and what I will be talking about this in great detail in my talk, is that the effect that this will have, the war will mean that a lot of women will have to stop political agitation for their rights because of this greater cause, this supportive, I mean, first of all, they have to fight for national sovereignty. They have to fight for everyday survival. And this is something that is not talked about. I mean, we do hear about human tragedy, and it's indeed quite shocking. But what we do not hear, which I will go into, is that how this war will increase support for a very hardline Islamist, and this will have a disastrous effect for women who were campaigning on gender rights. In the case of Iran, two decades it took many women, many effort to change many of the laws that were anti-women. But and the reform movement was heavily supported by women because they saw that that was where the change was coming from. But since the war on Iraq has started, I mean, just before the war, the conservatives won in the reform lost municipal election. The conservative won. The same thing is happening in Pakistan. The same thing is happening in Egypt. You have Jamaat Islamiyah, who is a very extremist Islamist group, and they're very intolerant towards any change towards a progressive interpretation of Islam. And these are the most conservative faction of Islam is getting a lot of support because of the war. And this is something that it's not immediate, but it has a long-term disastrous effect for those who are campaigning on women's rights. And any reconstruction of the region has to heavily relies on women's work. We've seen in many post-war situations that that really, because of women always play the caretaker of society, it's very important that they should be empowered in reconstruction of any society after a war. And I'm afraid with this increasing support for the most extremist type of Islamist, like the Jamaat Islamiyah, and other groups, is going to undermine women's power to help reconstruct. I mean, we don't know how long this war is going to take. It's turned into a guerrilla warfare. It's turned into there's going to be civil war. It very much reminds me of Vietnam. And so we don't know when this is going to end. But when it does end finally, then who is going to pick up the pieces? Who is going to help to build the region? Both in terms of addressing humanitarian crisis as well as democratic crisis that is going to happen in terms of civil society. Women's group are not only women are losing in real terms in terms of suffering of becoming refugee and access to water or food or shelter, but they're also going to lose their access to sources of power, and so there is an immediate tragedy and there is a long-term tragedy in the making.
A very important perspective coming to us from Dr. Roxana Bramitash, presenting War on Terror and the Terror of War, Globalization, Islamization, and Feminism, a lecture she will be presenting Monday, March 31st at the Samuel Brofman House, 1590 Dr. Penfield. That's 1590 Dr. Penfield on the corner of Côte de Neige from 6 to 10 p.m. Dr. Bramitash, as we close out, I just want to get your final comments on the sorts of diplomacy that George Bush and company are waging in the world and the kind of diplomacy that is needed to remedy the situation for the benefit of women throughout this region and in our own countries here. What do you see as necessary for Canadians to do, or even folks here right here in Montreal?
Well, I think that having talked about so many tragedies, I think that personally I wouldn't survive all these things, horrible things that I'm witnessing if I didn't see a bright side of that. It's that particularly in Montreal, I see that there is a great deal of understanding. People are there is this great thirst for people to understand what's happening, and then that's and then the peace movement. I think that the 8th of March was very important because a lot of women in Montreal went on the streets and they wanted peace. That's, you know, we hear the drama of war. We also hear how people are standing against it, and I think that's very positive because it's very important that that for people. I mean, I lived all my life in the Middle East, and I know that and I travel back and forth quite often, and I know the anger and frustration and the hate that people have developed because of what's happening to them. But it's also important for many women to see that Bush doesn't speak for America. And I think that that the image of and the fact that Canada has stayed out of the war is and I think that I was not in the region 8th of March, but I can just imagine how empowering it is for progressive groups and women's group to see that on a day, on a Women's Day March, there's so many women from Montreal going to streets and wanting peace. And I mean, this is in time of such huge crisis, it's very important. It's very it's very soothing to see it. It brings some degree of comfort for the people in the region to understand, to see that there are women here who care. And I think in the long run, this is very, very useful, because I've always been frustrated. I've been teaching a lot of women's study courses, and I've always been frustrated because there is this stereotype image of women in the Muslim world that being victim, oppressed, and there's this division between us and them, self and other, and I think that and dividing women from the West, from women in the Middle East, there's this division that has existed. But through this campaign, anti-war campaign, I think that, and then the frustration that many women's groups are feeling here with their own governments that are supporting this war. So this frustration will bring women of the two regions together to build bridges and to get to understand that how they can establish links. These cross-national links are extremely important in terms of exchanging ideas and understanding their what do we have in common rather than what divides us. This is very important. Always, up to now, the great source of my frustration was that how women's situation of women in the Middle East is different from situation of women in Western countries. But here we see that how much we have in common, what points there are for us to focus, and this will have a long-term effect. It will you know, as someone who's lived in Middle East most of my life, there is a very false image of, I mean, just as there are false images of Middle Eastern women in the West as being victim, as being powerless, there are also images, stereotype images of Western women in Middle East coming through Hollywood and magazines, so quote-unquote women's magazine. But this campaign and this anti-war campaign and anti-globalization campaign is bringing to light, it's making women in Middle East understand that there are women here who care about what they're caring, and this being together is a force that's very important for future any campaign for future for gender rights.
Dr. Bramitash is currently a postdoctoral fellow at the Simone de Beauvoir Institute, where she is teaching a course on women in the Muslim world. She will be speaking this coming Monday on the war on terror and the terror of war. And that's Monday, March 31st at the Samuel Brofman House, 1590 Dr. Penfield Corner of Côte des Neiges, from 6 to 10 p.m. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Roxana Bramitash.
That's my pleasure. Thank you.
For more information, call 848-2373. That's 848-2373.